Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted. Not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Me, 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 me.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
For next
special
week.
Special message for all the kids watching at home.
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, my timing and my tone were off. That ain't nothing new. This is Wretched Radio warming up for next week. Why? We are going to dedicate an entire week of mailbag questions. So get them in! That was a little violent sounding. Well, you know, but don't blame me. I think if you thought that was wrong, blame the Republicans. Or blame guns or something like that. And in the meantime, send stuff too. Did you see the responses to a tragedy in Minneapolis? And the politicians, the liberal democratic politicians of Minnesota and California, because they are in a competition. California and Minnesota shouldn't be friends at this point because they are neck and neck for who's going to be communist first. I'm telling you, they are in a horse race and... Secretariat ain't breaking out of the pack, blaming, I think they blame Donald Trump, blame guns, blame the Republicans. They blamed everybody but the dude who did it. When I say dude, I mean dude, because it was a dude, even though he identified as a dudette. That wasn't mentioned. Anti-Catholic sentiment. How's about Christophobia? Huh? Christophobia. That's everybody else. We've got phobias all over them. They've got Christophobia. This guy was very aggressive against Jesus Christ. Shh. Blame guns. Please send your thoughts, questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea@wretched.org. Send lots of stuff, would you? Because otherwise, Jimmy... he's going to have to make stuff up. And we don't want him making up stuff all next week. Or text away at 877-282-2337.
So this is my favorite way to start mailbag.
With a critique.
With the correction.
Okay. Same thing.
Yeah, this is from Dan. Todd, in your report about who you saw at the MacArthur Memorial, you said that Pastor Tom Pennington was at Crossroads Bible Church.
Oops.
He pastors our church, Countryside Bible Church.
Yeah, all righty. See... but here's what people, you know, to accuse me of being wrong.
I know.
People just don't do their research. If they look back in the archives at a very early formation meeting, they actually talked about it being Crossway Church. So I am really more accurate here. 8-7. That's it. Is that it for the week?
That's it. Yeah. Yes.
Well, not everybody's been exactly thrilled with me this week, which is fine. We can certainly disagree on stuff, and then you can send your critique to 877-282-2337.
So this is a question from Derek. He texted in, Todd, did your opinion of bagpipes change after MacArthur's memorial service?
No, my attitude about John MacArthur changed. Mm. I'm not sure that I love the man anymore.
I actually thought about you as I was watching it.
I'm not the only one who has a wee bit of a disdain for the bagpipes. I was watching faces when the guy started marching in. I was watching, and not everybody is like, let me get that CD. I just want all bagpipes. There are no bagpipe CDs. I suspect there probably are, but I bet they're not on Amazon. It's got to be pretty niche. I don't know if you realize this. This is, again, once again, my critique is correct, not only because I'm a talk show host, but because I do the research, the hard work to study these issues historically. This is the background to bagpipes. It was the Irish who gave a bagpipe to the Scottish people as a joke, and the Scottish people never got it. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, I am attending a Catholic funeral for my wife's uncle. Obviously, we won't be taking communion as they do, but I don't want to participate in any of it. I was thinking we could just stay seated during all the standing and kneeling. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'd have to do that too, because the issue is participation and affirmation. Let's start with what I think is correct, and please, you can correct me if you dare, because I'm a talk show host, that the distinction needs to be made, I think, between a marriage and a funeral. I just think that there's a difference. A marriage, your presence is affirming what is happening. I personally don't think that attending a funeral is unnecessarily, it could if you participate in the service, but I don't think it's necessarily affirming. It is simply there out of respect to the person who has died. Now, the reason that I would say the standing and the sitting and all of that, I just couldn't participate in, I would encourage somebody to not do that, is because I think that is the line. Then it looks like you are participating and affirming what is being done up on the altar, and you just don't want to be doing that. So in my opinion, I say go to the funeral and don't participate. And by the way, there might be other things. They might do communion. Don't. It is a blasphemous affair in the Roman Catholic system. The calling down, the summoning of Jesus from heaven to die again and shed his blood again to be transubstantiated, where these elements, which are clearly still bread and wine, because they probably still use wine in the Roman Catholic Church, are not the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, the act of remembrance does not forgive your sins. The one the elements represent forgives your sins. So don't participate in that. Or if there's anything else that happens and you feel like, hey, I'm participating in this, then just avoid that. Now, here's one for you. All right, here's one. Let's just say that the casket comes in from the back of the church and everybody stands up. Do you stand up for that? Now, I think different Christians are going to probably have different answers to that question. But the issue is, does it appear that I am participating? Because it is, if it is, then I think you're in violation of 2 John 9 through 11. And you don't want to be in violation of any Bible verse. Jimmy, you okay with the distinction between marriage and burial?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, I mean, you're honoring the person that passed away and what they meant to your life. I don't think that affirms the Catholic faith.
Yeah, and I get it if somebody would disagree with that, because let's just, clearly they must have been Roman Catholic, and so they would affirm that service. Well, you're not there to affirm their faith. You're there to affirm your relationship with them and their life and their passing. Yeah, but might I suggest, if you disagree on this, okay, I understand that you wouldn't be able to go. I would, and I would encourage you to be persuaded in your own mind, and then we can get back to fellowshipping together after you send your thoughts to 877-282-2337.
This is from Dawson. He texted in, Todd, what is the biblical position on Christian and alcohol? Do you believe in complete abstinence or drinking but not getting drunk?
Can I add a prepositional phrase? Do I believe in complete abstinence for me? Yes, I believe in that. Now, do I think that I would be sinning if I took a drink? Take a drink? Is that what? Drink a drink? Whatever you do to alcohol. If I slammed one back.
There you go.
Actually, I would be sinning, not because I'm consuming alcohol, but because my conscience would say, duh. And you never want to override your conscience. I made that decision years ago for me, simply because I can have a propensity toward diving into something and staying there. Furthermore, when you had a first-class alcoholic father, you got to be careful that you don't follow in his footsteps. So I made that decision for me. Furthermore, productivity, expense, the calories, all of it. I'm just going to just cut that out. Then it's never a debate. It's never a concern. It's never a how much is too much. And furthermore, testimony. I think let's make sure that we understand that those in ministry aren't superior Christians. But I think if you're in ministry, you do have greater considerations. What is the testimony? When you're coming and going from a liquor store or you're ordering out at a restaurant, you simply have to ask that. So my answer for me was no. Do I believe that you're sinning if you consume alcohol? Well, if your conscience is clear and you're not getting drunk, then I say it can be a blessing from God. It can be something that enhances food. Here's something that might help you to know if you've had too much. Because if you believe that alcohol is not sinful, therefore it could be classified as a good gift for your enjoyment, can you thank God for that next 12-ouncer? Can you thank God for that next beverage when you're done consuming it? Might be a helpful test. This is Wretched Radio.
The Fortis store is closing permanently, and we literally mean everything must go, because after this month, there won't be a store. Presently, you're going to notice that we've slashed prices up to 75% off all physical inventory. Thanks to our incredible gospel partners, we're going to be making all of our digital resources completely free on Fortis Plus. But first, help us empty our shelves. You've got through the end of this month. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now. Trust me, your future self is going to be grateful you didn't miss out. FortisInstitute.org.
Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's frustrating? Reading about the Holy Spirit and still not really understanding how He works in your life. I mean, you want to understand, right? But it just feels so unclear. Fortis Institute fellow Dr. John Crott's going to be coming to the Wretched Studios on Saturday, August 30th. He's going to be doing 6 sessions on the Holy Spirit. Absolutely free, but space is limited. So go to fortisinstitute.org/Holy Spirit right now as quick as possible and get signed up. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. Well, join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? Introducing Transformed Season 4. 6 brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at fortisplus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship.
Attributes of God. Aseity is the word for God's self-existence. Nobody made God. God is the unmoved mover who causes all other things to be. All things depend on God for their continued existence. God does not need His creation. He chose to create us to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are here to serve. This is Wretched Radio. You've still got the itch to spend some money on Christian stuff. Well, you can't do it with us. No siree, Bob. Everything is free at FortisPlus.org. But we did further research, and it looks like if you really need to spend some money, you could visit WJLU.org.
That's it. There you go.
I learn eventually. WJLU.org and join us in Daytona Beach, Florida, September 5th and 6th for the Cornerstone Conference with a bevy of people that you know. That's right. A bevy of people that you know. Ken Ham, H.B. Charles, Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Stephen Nichols. I'm excited to meet Stephen Nichols from Ligonier because for no reason other than it just never worked out. I've never really had any sort of relationship with Ligonier. So it'll be nice to be able to spend some time with Stephen and you at the Cornerstone Conference, WJLU.org, where you can spend some money. You're welcome. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org or text away to 877-282-2337.
This is from Kenny. Todd, I was listening to the segment earlier this week on Celine Dion and started thinking about idols, the idols I have in my life. I'm currently 20 years old and very into fitness and training at the gym, but I get really discouraged when I fall off my strict schedule. Does that make it an idol? Even though it's healthy for me to go, should I cut it out? Or should I take a break to refocus my effort on building the temple over the flesh?
There is one and only one individual who can render the verdict to determine is it an idol or is it simply enjoying a good and perfect gift? Working out is a gift. Exercise, playing game, those are gifts. We take them, we enjoy them, unless they cross the line into idolatry. Here are a couple of words that might help you. Do you want to go to the gym or do you need to go to the gym? If you need to go to the, like, I need to go. Now, I get it. You feel out of sorts when you don't work out or you don't exercise. But that, you know, you feel a little logy. But what I'm talking about is our heart's desire. No, I just got to be there because if I fall off, then my bicep might lose an eighth of an inch. Okay. Then you're probably heading into idolatry territory because it has become a need. So ask yourself the question, do I want to go to the gym and stay fit because I do want to take care of my temple? Or is it something that you've got to do or you die? That is why I'd also focus on another word. You said when you don't go, you're discouraged. Unpack that word. Check out its synonyms. Maybe there are other words that would better describe what's going on in your heart. You're discouraged. Now, again, is that a feeling like, I missed a day working out. I missed my day walking. Like you missed your day gardening or you missed your day knitting. It's like, okay, I'm bummed out about that. Well, that's different than being discouraged because discouraged, if I'm just going to take it at face value, means you're unhappy about the consequences of not being able to do something to make your temple look spectacular. Which I think is another angle for you to consider. Why do you want to work out? If you want to work out to be in shape, cool. If you want to work out so you can just fill out a suit, I get that. Because as scrawny as I am, how scrawny are you?
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm like Gumby without the rubber part is what I'm trying to say. I am scrawny. And so just go to the gym just so that I don't have to wear like a boy's suit, like a 34 suit. I go to the gym and take care of it. But that's different than being a preener and a poser so that everybody can see you and look at you and stare at you and perhaps idolize you. There could also be a component of pride involved. There could be an element of fear of man. It could be desiring the praises of people. So you gotta search your heart, and only you can render that verdict. Can you get help? Can you have people ask you questions? Hey, earlier, did we do that this week that we talked about heart questions? Yeah, use those questions. Yeah, it was the Celine Dion thing. Yeah. Use those questions. And by the way, I got a Celine Dion email sent to me.
Uh-huh.
Todd, it said something like, I'm not going to do it justice because it was, the guy needed to repent. I'm just telling you, he should just repent. He said, even though Celine Dion can no longer sing, her music will go on and on. And then he said, I'll show myself to the door. So at least he was self-aware. 877-282-23. By the way, I think I've shared this before. If you're a young man and a young woman, because I have been told by Mrs. Friel, this goes on inside of the women's locker room, the staring at yourself in the mirror, we can see you. Okay, we can see you. I see these guys. They're usually younger and usually a little bit on the scrawny side. With the, you know, they got mirrors in the gym walls. So you, I guess, check out your form. Some people just use it to check out themselves. And they're doing the Schwarzenegger poses, you know, with the showing the bicep with the leg and on your, and it's like, hello, I know you think that you're the only person on the entire planet, but there are people who can, just because your mind is not aware of anything else or anybody else doesn't mean we can't see you. So if you're young, stop the preening. Stop the posing. Stop the looking at yourself in the mirror, because my experience is, as a rule, you still have some opportunity for growth. Let's just put it that way. 877-282-2337.
This is from Summer. Todd, my husband has recently become a full-time pastor. We left a church that we loved dearly, where he served as the associate pastor. I was an integral part of the praise team and have been asked to return to sing in their special Christmas music. Is this a good idea? We don't want our new church to feel as though we're unwilling to let go of our old congregation, but I also selfishly would love to sing with my old praise team again.
Yeah, I get that. You know, you're not the called individual, but you do have, I don't want to say that you have a biblically ordained position, but everybody knows that you're the pastor's wife. Now, I say that not to put an extra burden on you, but I'm going to, because we all need to consider what am I speaking to my body? I'm talking about my church body. What am I communicating to them? Now, let's just say you're not the pastor's wife. You're not the pastor. You're not an elder. You're not a deacon, but you're a member of a local church. When you don't show up on Sunday, we all know it. And everybody tries to give the benefit of the doubt. They must be traveling. They must be doing something. But if it were discovered, you know what? Hey, on this Sunday, I just decided to go to another church. Oh, that communicated something, didn't it? It communicated that this body of which you are a part isn't preeminent. And so whatever the scenario, the dynamic is, we all need to consider what our presence is communicating. So let's just say that you've got a situation where the other church has invited you. And it, look, if it's not at the same time as your church service, go do it. I mean, make sure that, you know, that whole selfish part is gone, but go ahead and do it. But if it's at the same time, you do need to ask and answer the question, what will I be communicating to my body? And it doesn't matter if you're the pastor's wife or not. And just based on doing that from afar, I do think that you would be communicating the very thing that you're concerned about saying by being absent on Christmas Eve. Somebody might argue, well, that is not a mandated service. I agree with you. We don't have to go to church on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Very few do both these days. You don't have to, but you're still communicating something. And if I could, for all of us, we need to remember that. When you're thinking about not going to church just because it's raining, you're tired that day, let me put this in a positive way. I think we've just heard the negative way enough. How's about this for a positive way? You encourage us. When we worship together, it's not a singles event. This is a corporate affair. How do we speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? How do we do that? Well, we do these things together. We worship together. And while I don't want to be fully distracted, I do want to look around and go, okay, Yeah. I know how tired that guy. He actually had a second shift. That dude is dog tired. And look at him showing up to worship Jesus. You've spoken to me. I've watched you worship. I watch you sing. I see your head bowed. And it feeds your brothers and sisters. So on those days when you're feeling like, it's not a big deal. I don't want to go. I don't need to go. Oh, well, in an effort to be positive, please go. Please go. Please come and encourage us. You might say, but I don't have a ministry. I don't do anything important. I'm telling you, your presence is important because your presence speaks. So on Sunday morning, as tired as you are, speak a good word and go to church. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.